father's house. There's all kinds of wear on the back edges where dad had it for many, many years. And it's just an old worn chair. But today it could be my Thanksgiving chair. Each of us should have that place. But sometimes we have a hard time finding it. Sometimes we have a hard time finding the time for it or making a priority for it. So I'm going to bring you to Luke chapter 17 in the Bible. And what I want you to do with me is I want you to look and see the Thanksgiving chair that is found within Luke chapter 17, verses 11 down through 19. Now, as I read the text, you're going to think to yourself, I don't see a chair. But that's okay, because we're going to help you find it in Luke chapter 17. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, I pray that you'd be with us as we look into these scriptures. Help us to draw from it the truths that we need to be a thankful people on this Thanksgiving weekend. Help us, Lord, to find our Thanksgiving chair, that place where we reflect and remember and say, thank you. We thank you, Lord, right now for the privilege and the opportunity to open your holy word and know that within it are truths that we need for today. And we pray for your guidance in Christ's name. Amen. Luke chapter 17, verses 11 down through 19. It says, and it came to pass, he went to Jerusalem, and he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show thyselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger? And he said unto him, arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. So here, this is a very famous text, an often referenced text of where Christ heals the lepers and makes one whole. But within this text, while it is about a God who cares for us and a God who is a great healer, it's also a great text about Thanksgiving, about taking the time to find that Thanksgiving chair and to say, thank you, Lord. And as we look within this text, there are several things about that search that I want you to see with me. First of all, I want you to see that this was found on a normal day, a normal journey. It's not an extraordinary event that's unfolding here. We find the Lord Jesus Christ on a journey. It tells us in the very beginning of what I read in verse 11 that it came to pass, he went to Jerusalem and he passed through Samaria and Galilee. And if right now I could bring you to the Holy Land and take you to the place where Jesus Christ grew up in Nazareth, the guides would take you and show you that place, and they would tell you that just over the hill you can stand and you can look down and you can see the Sea of Galilee. It's about 65 miles from Nazareth to Jerusalem. And they would have to journey all through the region of Galilee, down through Samaria, and on up into the mountains to Jerusalem. This would be a familiar journey. For you and I, we can't even begin to imagine walking 70 miles, 63, 64, 65 miles. That's a long walk, isn't it? That's certainly not just a stroll in the afternoon. But this would have been a common thing for these folks at this time. Christ annually, at least once a year, would travel with his family to Jerusalem to go and to give offering and to give thanks there in the city of Jerusalem. But we know from Christ's ministry, from the gospel messages, that Christ journeyed back and forth throughout that region many times up to Jerusalem. So when we read the beginning of our text, that it came to pass, he went to Jerusalem, passing through Samaria and Galilee, I want you to understand this is a normal thing, not extraordinary. Oftentimes we think that to find the Thanksgiving chair means that we have to come across some unusual, extraordinary time in our life. Not at all. Christ is merely on a normal journey, going up through a region where he grew up and where he traveled through many times, going about the business of life that he had in his ministry at that time. Yet he is going to come across the Thanksgiving chair. And each of us in our lives, you don't have to have some cataclysmic event. You don't have to have some extraordinary, amazing blessing to come across the Thanksgiving chair. It just needs to be a matter of you looking and wondering and wanting to say, "Thank you, Lord." So as we continue with him, we see the very first part where Christ on this very normal journey comes across the midst of some very needy people. And maybe you might think to yourself, well, you're not going to find thanksgiving in the hearts and minds of the needy. But you are. Because when you come to verses 12 and 13, it says that as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." So in these 10 men, lepers, they're doing exactly what the law commanded them to do at that time. And that was that they stood afar off. Because if you had leprosy, you were unclean. You could not approach other people. It didn't matter whether if it was a loved one or a stranger. When somebody would come near to you, you had to cry out, "Unclean, unclean." By law, people could not approach you. If your family left food for you, they would have to leave it and pull away. And you could come and get that food or that clothes or that money, whatever, to keep you alive. Because you couldn't work. You couldn't come to town to buy. You just existed. So these 10 lepers had gathered together. They were the only ones they could have fellowship one with another. Yet within them was an overriding need, a desperate situation, and that was their leprosy. Their leprosy was going to take their life inch by inch. Day by day, they would dry up and decay and rot and begin to die. They were desperate. And they see the one they heard about, Jesus Christ. At that time, they were hearing that he was a great rabbi, a great healer, a great teacher, a great instructor of the things of God, of righteousness. But they had heard he'd done wonders, miracles, amazing things. So as they see him come from afar, this motley crew of bandaged and deformed, decayed individuals, they begin to cry out to Jesus. "Jesus, Jesus, have mercy on us." Now when you look at those individuals, you'd not think to yourself, these are men who would have great welling reservoirs of thanksgiving, would you? You would think they would be desperately sad, discouraged, despondent. It may be so. But they're getting ready to come to a moment. They're getting ready to come to a place where they're going to make a decision to be thankful or not. They're going to have their opportunity to find the Thanksgiving chair. But will they choose to look? So we see that there are 10. In the midst of that 10 are all very needy individuals. But within that 10 is one. One who has in his soul something that maybe he learned from a child. Something that maybe he learned by example. Something that maybe he'd heard his rabbi teach many times. Something that maybe he understood was a real fiber of being a good and right person. And that was within him a desire to be thankful. As we come down to verse 14, we find this meeting place. Verse 14, it says, "And when Christ saw them, he said unto them, Go, show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed." Now again, it requires a little bit of knowledge of the Old Testament and understanding of the laws of the times. In the scriptures at that time in history, the Bible teaches us that when you had any kind of outward sore, an outward oozing open sore, you had to go to the priest, and the priest would examine that sore and would make a decision. Was that indicative of you being unclean, like leprosy, or was it merely something that would need an ointment, a salve, and they would send you home? If they passed that you were unclean, you didn't go back home. You were banned from society. But when that began to clear, you would again go to see the priest. And you'd approach him and tell him, "I need you to look. I need you to see that I'm beginning to heal." It's not leprosy, because leprosy would not heal. So Jesus simply says to these 10 lepers, to do what their culture and their society and their law would have taught them to do. Except he's telling them to do it before they're seeing a healing. He says, go. Go to your priest and show them yourself. And it says that as they took that step, they were healed. Can you imagine? Here you are, an exile, shoved outside of society, untouched by those who you love, those who you long to embrace, always having to be shunned away. And in a moment's time, you are healed. All the open sores dry. All the rotting and decaying stopped. And all it took was one step of faith. Because that's what the text tells us. It says it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. Now this would have been truly an event worth remembering. It would not have gone unnoticed. It's not like these lepers walking back to go see the priest that they would have all of a sudden a week gone by and realized, wow, man, hey, did you notice you're now clean? That would not have happened. They would have instantly known. They would have instantly recognized that a miracle happened in their lives. And you would think that all 10 at that moment would stop and look for that Thanksgiving chair. Who wouldn't? But 9 don't even look. Only one. Only one this day will find the Thanksgiving chair. It's not that it's not there. It's not that it's not accessible. It's not that it's not right in front of them. But they just don't see it. Yesterday we were at the house and two of our little grand boys have come home with us, the 10-year-old and the 8-year-old, from Thanksgiving. And so we were in the kitchen doing something and I said to Matt, I said, "Matt, I want you to go ahead and get that." It was right on the counter, right there. So Matt, as a 10-year-old, he goes over to the counter and he's searching and he's looking. And I'm remembering to when I was a boy and my father would say, "Go to the shop and get me this or this." Be right on the bench and I'd search and I'd search and he'd get so aggravated. He'd take me by the arm. He'd say, "Come here and I'll show you." And sure enough, it'd be right there. So with Matt, I'm saying to Matt, it's right there. Right in front of you, Matt. And he started laughing because he knows. I remember how it felt as a little boy. What's going on? Why can't I see this? And so I pointed and he said, "Oh, it was right there." You know, the Thanksgiving chair is kind of like that in our lives, isn't it? It's right there. So here they are, 10 lepers, ostracized from society. And in the moment, in a moment, they're healed. And only one takes time to look for the Thanksgiving chair. It's there, isn't it? Look, as we come down into verse 15. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Isn't it so interesting that the Bible text says to us, and he was a Samaritan? Because that's of note. You know, Jesus Christ was a Jew, born of a Jewish household, born in a Jewish community, raised within the Jewish religion. But the Samaritans who were in that area were people who had mixed Judaism with paganism. They'd made a great stew of a homemade religion, and they were considered to be unclean. And so here Christ says, of the 10 lepers, one of them was a Samaritan, of the most confused religious sort. And all of a sudden he realizes he is healed, and he's the guy looking for the Thanksgiving chair. And Christ says this for a reason. The Bible teaches us this for a reason. Sometimes we have all these presuppositions that this person or that person is oh so most religious and so right and so correct and so pure. But that person, no, not so much. That's how they would have looked at the Samaritans. And Jesus says, by the way, it's the Samaritan, the one you'd least expect, the one that would be the least instructed, the one that would be least taught, who said, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It humbles us all because we think to ourselves, well, I've got it together. My faith is in line. I would know and recognize and use the Thanksgiving chair. But the ever so obvious question is, do we really? Do we really? My Thanksgiving chair looks like not a chair at all. Quite often, my Thanksgiving chair is the front seat of my pickup truck. As I'm driving along, I'll say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for the community I live in, and thank you for the church I worship with. Thank you, Lord, for my wife and my kids and my grandkids. I often talk to the Lord while I'm driving. Another Thanksgiving chair for me is my tractor seat. I'll get in my tractor and I'll be working. And just this last week, we were filling this playground area with stone because it's a cushioning stone. The federal government wants us to have there so kids get a cushioning experience when they fall. So I brought the tractor up and we had 10 yards of stone delivered, and so I'm shuttling stone from the parking lot to there, and we're causing all that time John's appendectomy to happen as he's shoveling stone. But Caleb, myself, and Mitch, they're out there shoveling. I'm running the tractor, and I, as I'm running the tractor, I'm saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you for providing me this tractor. Now, many of you know I inherited it from my dad when he passed away. But Dad could have given it to one of my brother-in-laws or a neighbor or who knows what. So I say, thank you, Lord, because I use that tractor all the time. I say, thank you, Lord. There's so many things in our lives that if we just take a moment, we can find the Thanksgiving chair. It's not far away. It's right there. We just have to use it. It could be your tractor seat. It could be your swivel chair at work. Could be any place, anytime. any common day when you take a moment to say thank you. It's interesting as you go down in this text and you look at this individual, this Samaritan is so obviously pointed out to us in the scriptures. As you look at this, you find him falling down on his face at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there he gives thanks. And Christ responds to that. Because in the midst of that thankful heart is a heart of sincere worship and praise. That's what Christ recognizes and sees in this Samaritan that day. So that's why when you come down to the next verse, you find the Lord Jesus Christ responding. Verse 17. Christ says to him, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger?" Now, Christ is not saying this for his own benefit. He already knows the answer. For he knows the hearts of all men and women. He knows who's grateful and who's ungrateful. He knows whose knee is bent in worshiping him and praising him and who is not. He's not doing this for his own intellectual, exercise. He's really doing this for you and I to reflect on all these many centuries later. All Christians throughout time, to take a moment to reflect and remember that Jesus said, "Where are the other 9? Is it only the stranger who could find time that would make a moment, take a moment to say thank you? He wants us to contemplate that, to consider that, to put ourselves in that place and to ask the simple question, would I be one of the 9 or would I be the one of the 1? And then as you come down and you look at the last thing Christ says concerning this, he wants this believer, this young man, to understand the implications of his thanksgiving. And Jesus, answering in verse 17, said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found returned to give glory to God save this stranger. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole." Now there's a reason that God here uses the word whole. Thy faith has made thee whole. The other 9 were healed, but this one is made whole. And that is, there's tremendous weight in that word scripturally, biblically, miraculously. God has taken this stranger, this Samaritan, this man with a confused religion, and he's brought him to the place that the Thanksgiving chair connects him to the living God. And Jesus says to him, your faith has made thee whole. You see, he's talking to him now not just about the physical being, but about the whole being. The body, the soul, the spirit, the man as a whole. He says, I want you to understand that you are now made whole. All that was decayed and rotten is not only made clean, but given back. Maybe he'd lost fingers or a nose or lips or ears, all of a sudden returned. But more than that, and more important than that, is what happened inside. Because it says, your faith has made thee whole. He's talking to him about inside. You've been made whole. You once were dead in your trespasses and sins, but now you're made alive. You were once hobbled and crippled by all the maiming and scarring of your sin, but you are now made whole. You were once dirty, dark, dank, from all that sin had brought you to, but you are now cleansed and purified and made holy, made whole before God. Only the miracle of the Savior, the Messiah, the Christ, could do this that day on that common journey where he met 10 very, very needy people. And only one would be made whole. And that one was the one who found the Thanksgiving chair. Who took the time to get down on his knees and simply cry out, "Thank you. Thank you." This Thursday, we gathered together as families and friends. Maybe you invited people over. Maybe you went to somebody else's. Maybe you chose to stay home by yourself. But I'm hoping that all of us sought out the Thanksgiving chair, where we took a moment to say, "Thank you, Lord." Not just for the turkey, the cranberry sauce, the stuffing, the gravy, the list is long. But thank you, Lord, for my health, my home, my spouse, my job, my faith, my eternal home, my salvation. Thank you, Lord. You see, that thank you, Thanksgiving chair is not hard to find. But it does require faith. And that's what Jesus said to this young man. "Thy faith has made thee whole." It requires the faith of stepping back and saying, "There's something bigger than me. I'm not it. I'm not the guy who made it all or the woman who self-achieved. But I know that there's a God above who has blessed me, guided me, watched over me, and enabled me. A God who I need to say thank you. Thank you for taking me through the very darkest hours. And thank you for holding me through those times of great celebration. Thank you, Lord, for lifting me up when I was down in despair. Thank you, Lord, for celebrating with me when I rejoiced in great celebration." Simply saying thank you. It's not a one-day-a-year event. It's a common event. It's all part of the everyday journey from Galilee through Samaria on up to Jerusalem. Every day going about our business, but all the time looking for the Thanksgiving chair. And making sure that as the years go by, your chair gets a little worn because of use. Amen? Let's bow our heads. And as our heads are bowed and as we look in our hearts, I ask you this morning, do you have faith? Do you have faith in your Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Savior? Yes, the great physician. That Samaritan that day came to faith through his thanksgiving. And maybe this morning is the morning. Maybe today is the day that as your head is bowed and as you look in your heart, that you want to reach out to the Savior and receive him into your life because you're thankful too. As we come into this moment of invitation, I'm just going to ask that we all stand and bow our heads. So just stand with me right now. And as our heads are bowed, and as I pray, I just want us to take a moment of just silent prayer, a prayer of thanksgiving right where we stand. Father in heaven, I do pray that you be with us as our hearts are turned towards you. Help us to use this place at this very moment to find our Thanksgiving chair. And if there be one person here that does not know you as their Savior, then how, Lord, I pray that your Spirit would stir and move and beckon, that today would be the day they come to know you. We pray for your Spirit to work and to move. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. And as we